If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me from the second chapter of the book of Nehemiah. The second chapter, beginning with the first verse, "For I was the king's cupbearer, and it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been aforetime sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchre, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be? When wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me. And I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river, and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly, that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was unto me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall, and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us, and said, What is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. All right. That's reading quite a bit here concerning the scriptures. Most all of us are familiar with the things of God in the Old Testament and in the New. So as a rule, when you read the Holy Scriptures, whether you read from the Old Testament or whether you read from the New, most everybody is familiar one way or another. Perhaps they're not as familiar with the Scriptures as someone else, but they are familiar enough to know, just about understand, that is, what you're saying. So then I'm reading from the book of Nehemiah, but I might just drop in a thought or two here to kind of build a little thought pattern in your mind to where you can comprehend what I would say later on in my message. I'll just drop in a few things here I'm sure that will help you. Most of you understand the book of Nehemiah, that it was the days of the restoration and the time of the coming out of the children of Israel out of Babylon. How many of you are familiar with that? See, Nehemiah being the king's cupbearer. He was at that time fasting and seeking God, and his countenance was fallen, and the king, having great respect for this man, could not understand where the cheerfulness was concerning Nehemiah. The day has gone by, you know. The time that he felt good and the time that he came into the king's presence with joy. The king could not understand this, and he said, it's nothing but sorrow of heart. He said, you're not sick, Nehemiah. He said, what's the matter with you? And then Nehemiah broke down and told him his heart. Now, he said inasmuch as to speak after this manner, that many years ago, we were taken from our homeland, back as far as 975 B.C., when the reign of Solomon was over. And at that time, the kingdom was divided between Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, and Jeroboam, which protested against the actions of the king in that day. From that time, it was split up. From about 975 B.C., it was split up. And then as time moved on, it wasn't long, about 587, that Nebuchadnezzar went up and made an end of Jerusalem. Completely made an end of it, and from that period of time, took over and set up another form of government altogether that was the Babylonian system. Are you familiar with that? The Babylonian system. About 606, everything was in full session. Everything was going well for Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian system, and it continued on. For quite a number of years, it continued on. And maybe for 600 years from that time, there was not anything much concerning the kingdom of God and the things of God. It wasn't until over, way over, 30 A.D., when Jesus came, that things, or when Jesus grew up and started his ministry, that things began to blossom again concerning the Jewish people. But in between the time that Jesus came and the great fall of Jerusalem, there was a period that was called the Silent Ages. During this period of time, they didn't have any prophets. And just prior to this was when Nebuchadnezzar talked to King Artaxerxes, because God had placed on his heart to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. See, about this time, Nehemiah, perhaps reading the scriptures, perhaps understanding what Daniel had said, and Jeremiah and others, all of a sudden he became concerned, and he began to think, 70 years in Babylon. The great prophet said when our people went down into Babylon that they would be there for a period of 70 years. And then after this, God would raise up a deliverer and bring them out with a mighty hand. And I'm sure that Nehemiah began to think Moses was a deliverer, Daniel was a great deliverer, and others was great deliverers, and perhaps God wants to use me. Have you ever thought of it like that? That God would like to use you to deliver his people. God would like to use you. You're the members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God would like to use you to deliver his people from the bondage of this world. You say, Brother Pike, I don't see anybody in bondage, but they are. The Bible said to be carnally minded is death, and to be carnally minded is to think about the things of the world. Where Paul said, if I have sown unto you spiritual things, shall I not reap of your carnal things? So then to be carnally minded is to be under the bondage of Satan. For Jesus said, Satan savors the things that be of this world, and the Gentiles seek after the things of this world rather than after God. When the command of the Holy Scriptures is to follow after the kingdom of God, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all of these other things will be added unto you. Now somebody would say, well, what difference does it make whether I get it before I get the kingdom of God or whether I get it after I seek the kingdom of God? There's the world of difference, nothing less than a world of difference. If I receive the things of this world before I receive Christ, then I'm like the rich young ruler. I place my affection upon them, and they become a snare and a bondage to me. You follow me? But if I follow Christ and seek the kingdom of God first, then all of these things are sanctified as they are added unto me, and they are not under the curse, and I can enjoy them. And the Bible teaches that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Whereas before you can get rich, but many sorrows shall pierce you through, Paul said. But if we receive these things by the hand of God, then we become exceedingly rich. There's no end to it. We just keep receiving of the things of the world that have been sanctified by God until finally the saints takes the kingdom of the world and all of eternity to go along with it. Isn't that rich? All right. So it's wonderful to understand what was taking place. Nehemiah began to realize that God wanting to use somebody. So then fasting and praying and looking to God, he began to think upon the things of God. He began to call upon the name of the Lord. And he began to pray and look unto the Master and began to realize that the time was at hand for the deliverance of Israel. No doubt he thought 70 years. Maybe it never had dawned on Nehemiah before until the Holy Spirit began to move on him. You know, a lot of times things don't dawn on us. We're so busy in our minds and in our daily deeds until things, heavenly things, don't dawn on us sometimes until we just sit down and start praying a little bit or thinking on God a little bit. And then all of a sudden great things begin to come to our mind and we begin to realize how negligent we've been in that which is of the greatest of importance. We place the less of value before the greater value. We do not evaluate properly. We take that which is less and we place it ahead of that which is the greatest. Isn't that right? So then Nehemiah, no doubt, began to think now 70 years. And probably his whole countenance lit up. And he began to think, my God, 70 years has passed by. And I remember what the prophet said. That at the end of 70 years, no more bondage. Perhaps he was like Moses, had been down there in the land of Babylon and around or whatever, in these places among the people. And no doubt he had saw the cruelty, how that the people had been cruelly entreated. And perhaps his heart was grieved and thinking about these things. All of a sudden it registered that it was time for all of that to be over. But you know, when Nehemiah started to take those people out of Babylon, there was people that was not full-blooded Jews. During that time, they'd intermingled. They'd got all mixed up. And some of them was half-breeds. Isn't that right? That's the way it is today. Those that have been in the dispersion as far as the spiritual side of life, they have intermingled with darkness. Many people are among them which are not Christians. Very religious. All kind of indoctrinations, all kind of churches. They're very religious, but they are not Christians. They're not Christ-like. They're not Christians. And so then when Nehemiah started back to build the city, he run into Sanballat and Tobiah and some of the others that wanted to overthrow what he was doing. You know why that they wanted to overthrow what Nehemiah was doing? For the same reason that they'd like to overthrow what Brother Pike is doing in Bethlehem and many hundreds of other people that are laboring for Christ. The major reason is because their names are not on the roll. You love Jesus? I said their names are not on the roll. They're half-breeds. And that's the problem. Tobiah and the others, they wanted to ally. They wanted to ally with Nehemiah. But Nehemiah informed them that their names were not on the roll, that they were not full-blooded Christians, or that is Jews, and they had no part in what he was doing. See, when you get to be a half-breed, you like to be, you know, you can be a Baptist, a Pentecostal, a Charismatic, join the Catholic Church, the Presbyterian, the Lutheran. You can join the UPC, get into any kind of church. You know, you can slip in unawares. You say, Brother Pike, you couldn't do that. Oh, yes, you can. The Bible speaks of those that slip in without the wedding garment. The Bible said God looked and said, how did these get in here? Seeing that they have not the body of Christ. They don't carry the vesture of Jesus. That's been dipped in blood, that's passed through the fire. The raiment that's been tried in the fire. Whereas the Bible said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He said, how is it that they got in here? The Bible said they climbed up another way. If you come in another way, you're a thief and a robber. But if you come in through the name Jesus, he said, I'm the door to the sheepfold. If you come in through the door, then you put on the garment. Isn't that right? You put on the garment. Just like here, if people come into Little Bethlehem, they come in here dressed decently. If they come in through our organized understanding of Christ. But if they don't want to do that, they slip in every other way and come in and cause me heartaches, troubles, and problems and division. Isn't that right? But you know, it's like this. You have to haul the garbage off, don't you? Don't you have to do that? Every day you have to get rid of the garbage because it keeps building up. That's the way it is around the church. That's the way it is around the campground. That's the way it was with Nehemiah. See, every day we have to get rid of the spiritual garbage. Get rid of it. Or it'll cause a bad odor and cause contamination. And things won't be spiritually sanitary. So then we have somebody to keep hauling it off. We keep rising up in perseverance and concern, loyalty to God to keep the garbage away so that we can keep on building for Jesus Christ. So then Tobiah and the others, they rose up against Nehemiah and they were very upset. And they said they wanted to be a part of it. He said no. So they said, we'll tear it down. And they mocked him. And as he built the walls, they mocked him. And they said, why, if a fox runs across it, said the walls will fall back down. But brother, I'll tell you, when Nehemiah built according to God's building plan, there was no fox that was going to knock that down. I'll tell you, when God builds, there's no way to knock it down. Did you know that? The Bible said, they that build, build in vain or labor in vain if God doesn't build. They that watch the city, they rise but in vain unless God is looking after the city. It doesn't matter how much nuclear power you got. It doesn't matter how much fortification you've got as a nation. If God isn't watching over your city, you're in trouble. All right, so then it's Nehemiah was ready to build back the city. 975, the kingdom had split up. Here in a little while, the crown that belonged to Jerusalem had been taken away. You know, the crown means the power. The crown denoting the power. The crown of Israel that had been with them for so many years. Their great kings, their great rulers, like Saul and David and Solomon. The crown had been with Israel, but all of a sudden God was not going to make the nations fear and shake before Israel anymore. The Bible said to begin with, God would make the nations fear and they would shake and tremble. Even when David would take up his sword, somebody would say, the Israelites are out to battle, and people would quiver just to think the Israelites was out. But if they spoke of King David being out, why, the whole army would start shaking, because David would run through a whole troop with a sword, fight till it would cleave to his hand. Nothing couldn't kill him. He'd just run through a whole troop, you know, like Samson with the jawbone of an ass. And they'd quiver because they knew that no man was a match for the king of Israel. Why was that? Why was that? David said, I've run through a troop and leaped over a wall. Why was that? Because God's Spirit was with him. All of the great men of old knew that they had to have God's Spirit. And they pray and say, God, we go up to battle, but don't send us up to battle unless thy presence go with us. Hallelujah. I feel his presence, don't you? Every time I go out to battle, I say, God, don't send me out to battle unless your Spirit goes with me. Your presence go with me. It's like the song we wrote about his presence. The children put out an album called His Presence. I want his presence with me. Wherever I go, I want his presence with me. And he has been faithful to never leave me nor forsake me. I remember when I saw the angel there in Florida, when the angel of God appeared before me, let me know just prior to that, the death of Brother William Branham, I remember that he came into my room and he spoke to me. I looked at him. And there, I couldn't speak. I couldn't do anything else. This was just before I saw him. I couldn't speak. I was as one paralyzed. But when he slipped a ring on my finger, and he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, but lo, I shall be with thee in the time of trouble and in the time of need. Those words still ring in my mind. My presence will be with you. Jesus said in his word, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, but lo, I am with thee always, even until the end of the world. That angel could say no more than the scriptures had said, isn't that right? What else could the angel say? That's what Jesus had said. And the Bible teaches if an angel come to you with any other thing, you can't believe it because it's not of God. So the angel could only confirm that. God's presence is with us. The Bible says in one place, he said that my covenant that I made with you is that my spirit remaineth among you. Don't be afraid. Said, my spirit remaineth among you. I have given you of my spirit. And it's to be with you throughout eternity. All right, so then Nehemiah wasn't afraid. You follow me? The crowd had left Israel. Nehemiah had gone to build back the city to restore the crown. He was threatened, but he wasn't afraid. He knew God was with him. He'd already talked to God. He said, God, prepare the king's heart. Don't you know that was God? Nehemiah had already took the first giant step, as we say. That first great step. He'd already taken that step. He knew when he took that first step and said, God, if you be with me, prepare the king's heart that he'll give me wood from the king's forest. He knew when he took that step and God answered that, that everything was all right. You know, David said that one time. David said, there's one thing that makes me know that God is with me. Now, you would have thought that David perhaps would have used most anything outside of what he stated as to being convinced by that that God was with him. But he says, there's one thing that makes me know that God is with me. He said, that is that my enemies does not triumph over me. Hallelujah. I said, when the devil can't keep the upper hand of you, you know that God is with you. But if the devil's always got the upper hand, God isn't with you, beloved friend. But if you're having problems, the Bible said in the day of adversity, consider. If you've got problems, then the thing to do is to find Jesus. Find Jesus. For if God is with you, the Bible said, if your ways please God, he maketh even thine enemies to be at peace with you. I don't go around soliciting, you know, the fellowship of people. I love people, I greatly love people and greatly esteem people because they're God's chief creation. But I don't go around soliciting their fellowship. I don't go around trying to keep them from getting upset at me. I go away at the midnight hour and I talk to my Heavenly Father. And I say, Father, you sent me on a mission. I got a job to do. I love your people. I don't have anything against anybody. Not one tiny thing as big as the point of a pen. Not one thing in my heart, Father, do I have against any living man. Oh, woman, not one thing. And I said, I've got a job to do. And Father, you know the devil's going to fight me. And I'm expecting you to undertake for me and to help me be able to cast these things off. Stand with me, Lord. And when my enemies rise up against me, I'm expecting you to do something about it. And brother, God does do something about it. Always he makes mine enemies to be at peace with me. So then David said, I know the Lord favors me because my enemies does not triumph over me. The crown having left Israel. I'd like to slow down just a minute now because there's some thoughts I'd like to get over. And I always find myself saying, well, maybe we'll get to them tonight. You know, because I can't get everything just right maybe with the audience. But you got to bring them out sometimes. Now, so then the crown that Israel had. God had given the crown to Israel, raised them up, called Abraham out of the land of the Chaldees, called him out after the great flood, called him out. After the flood, Noah was with Abraham for a while, Abraham's father, and Abraham. Then God called Abraham out of the land of the Chaldees, told him, said, I want to make a great nation of you, Abraham. So God made a nation. So thy seed shall sojourn in bondage 430 years. After this, I'll bring them out with a great deliverance. And so it was at the end of that time, God raised up Moses. And Moses, by the power of God, the great brilliance and understanding of the Almighty God, brought the children of Israel out by the mighty hand of Christ. He brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and set them on their way. There in the wilderness for 40 years, God set up a commonwealth and put Moses at the head of it. God supplied all of the needs of his many millions of people. God took care of every one of them. He wanted to prove himself to them. God could have took them on into Canaan, but they didn't have the faith to fight against the giants. They didn't have the faith and the courage to overthrow those that were the alien powers, that middle wall of partition. They had not exercised themselves in God during all those 400 years. They had not utilized their ability in sonship during all those years. Isn't that a condition of the church today? Though we are the sons and daughters of the living God, yet we've not utilized our ability, our exercise, or exercise our senses, the Bible tells us, that we can discern between good and evil. People just come in and tell us anything, bring any kind of old doctrine, everything, and cause us to get off the foundation of the words of life. Blown about by every wind of doctrine. Because we fail to utilize our abilities in Christ to search diligently and to seek for the understanding of God. Isn't that right? That's the church today. But have you ever stopped to consider that you're like Judas? That you're selling Christ and eternal securities for just a flicker of light? For this old corruptible body that they're going to put in a coffin? Some little prestige or something that's not worth having. Have you ever stopped, beloved friend, to consider that that's what you're doing? Selling out. Selling out. You understand what I'm saying? You're selling God. Selling eternal life. Selling eternal securities. For just a little flicker of the things of this world. But oh, if you could just stop and say, wait, I'm a son of God. I'm not a brute beast, as the Bible said, made to be taken and burned. I'm not somebody down here in this world that's without God, not knowing where I'm going. But I'm God's son. I'm God's daughter. I'm a king's son. I'm a prince. Hallelujah. I said I'm a prince. Do you know what it means to be a prince? Somebody said, Brother Pike, if you was a prince, you know, real and truly, genuinely, if you was a prince of the king, you know, well, sure, well, we'd know that. Now, we'd feel different, Brother Pike. But my brother, let's don't talk about rubbish. Let's talk about something. I'm a prince of God. I'm a prince of the Son of God. Hallelujah. I'm born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Hallelujah. I don't belong to some carnal work and government in this world. I belong to God. I am a God. Jesus called me a God. I'm made to live forever. I always refer back to this, and I make this statement so frequently. When they wanted to stone Jesus, and they were upset with Jesus, Jesus said, "What have I done to cause you to feel like this toward me?" Said, "What have I done that has got you so disturbed and upset that you want to kill a man?" Just a young man, 30, 31, 2 years old, just a young man. "And you want to kill me," Jesus said. "Why do you want to do that? I've done nothing but heal you sick. I preached to you. I've been kind to you. What causes you to want to do that?" But see, the scripture said, as it is written, they gathered together against him without a cause. They said, "We find nothing wrong with this just man. There's nothing wrong with him, but we want to kill him anyway. We want to kill him anyway." Jesus said, "For what good work do you stone me? What good work have I done? What have I done? Haven't I done works among you that no other man ever did, not even Moses? And for this do you stone me?" They said, "Nay, not for a good work." Oh, we appreciate the healing. Come on, folks. Isn't that the evangelistic tours of today? We appreciate the healing. Sure. If my belly's rotting out with cancer, come and heal me, the world will say. We appreciate that. Then for what good work do you stone me? Not for a good work do we stone thee, But you, being a man, make yourself God. Said this we can't take. Why is it that they can't take it? Because they know that God owns heaven and earth. That makes them our subjects. That makes them below our level. Hallelujah. And they want to make it look as though we are below their level. Somebody said, but wait a minute, Brother Pike. Them people couldn't understand if Jesus told them that he was a God. Beloved friend, all he ever said was, I'm the Son of God. Isn't that, somebody said, but that's blasphemy. That's what they said. But doesn't the Bible confirm the fact? It speaks of Adam, said Adam was the Son of God. Come on now. Somebody said, nobody can be the Son of God. The Bible said Adam was the Son of God. Jesus was the second man, Adam. The Son of the living God. That's why they wanted to stone him. They said, you being a man, you say that you are a son of God, that makes you equal to God. If you're born of a cat, you're a cat. If you say you're born of God, that means you're a God. Hallelujah. Jesus rebuked him and reproved him and said, is it not written in the scriptures that I called ye gods? Up to whom the word came, if they be called gods, how much more am I the Son of God, born to the virgin blood of heaven? See, the thing that caused Herod to get upset was the same thing that caused Tobiah to get upset. Isn't that right? The same thing that caused Herod to get upset was the same thing that caused Tobiah to get upset. The same thing that caused Tobiah to get upset is the same thing that the Holy Scriptures record that will cause the Antichrist to get into a rage and go forth to make war against Israel. Isn't that right? For tidings out of the east shall trouble him. Now that makes me to know something. You say, Brother Pike, what does that make you to know? That makes me to know that the trouble is in another part outside of the east. Is that right? Because it says out of the east, tidings will trouble him. Which means there in Jerusalem is the good place of life. Is that right? All right. Let's go a little further. I'm going to close in just a few minutes now. Let's look at it for just a moment. Here the crown left Israel. The crown is gone, taken away from Israel. You understand what I'm saying, folks? See, the crown, the power, the kingship. Israel no longer had a king. In the days of Samuel, Samuel said, I'm your prophet. I mediate between you and God. I tell you what God said. I don't charge you anything for it. I'll watch after your soul. They said, but we want a king. Said, we're going to be like other nations. We want a king. Samuel said, okay, I call to record today, heaven and earth, in your presence, that I've done the best I know how to do. I'm going to give you a king. Said, but when you get him, you're going to be sorry. And brother, when they got King Saul, they were sorry. You better believe they're sorry. But see, being in a kingship, God had to continue on. Why was that? It had to be that way to lead to King Jesus. Had to be that way. You say, but Brother Pike, what's the difference between Jesus and the kings? He's just another king. But the Bible said he's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Out there in that great city, in that great place, there'll be kings. But he'll be king over kings. He'll be the King of kings. And the Bible said the kings will come from out in the earth. And they'll walk into that lovely city like the 24 kings or the elders that's around the throne. And when they walk into that city, they say, O King of kings, Lord of lords, we come to bring thee glad tidings. And they'll throw that crown down, saying there's no king in your presence. You're the only king. Those crowns will be thrown down. And the Bible said to those 24 elders, those great patriarchal kings, they'll throw those crowns down at his feet. Revelation said they throw them down and said, holy, 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 holy. Cried unto God. You understand what I'm saying? See, in his presence there is but one power. There is but one power. Let me tell you something. Every time a policeman, every time any man of authority, every time any person ever walks into a church, they ought to throw their PhDs in the floors as far as they're thinking and throw their badges down. until he get ready to go out of his presence. Because there's but one power and authority. When they come in, they ought to come in on their faces. That's right, crawling up before the living God. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Somebody said, well, God doesn't require that. He required it in the Old Testament. You couldn't even go into the presence of the holies of holies back there. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, that's changed. No, it hasn't. Somebody said, but you can't tell me that. The veil's been rent in twain. Why is the Bible said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever if he's changed? Why is it? Somebody said, well, while back then he'd just make the earth open up and swallow up the people. Don't you ever think he's changed? Revelation 19 said he'll come with that sword once the blood is off of the mercy seat, the days of grace is over. He'll come with that sword and all of the saints of God with him, and they will dip their sword in his every person's blood that has not served Christ. And he said, cursed is the man that holdeth back his sword from blood. The blood will run up to the horse's bridle. He hasn't changed, beloved friend. He's the same devouring fire and wrath and indignation against evil that he's always been. He only has compassion and mercy through the blood of Jesus because of the sufferings of that hallowed presence that enveloped those that love Christ. All right, I said this the other day. The papacy of Rome stood up and made the statement. When he came to the United States, he made the statement, said, all men are sons of God. That is not true. Now, if it's not true, then what is it? It is a lie. There's nothing but truth and a lie. When he made that statement, it proved that he didn't know what he was speaking of. How can a man in that kind of condition lead the world? Because he's dead and passed off the scene. See, he didn't know what he's talking about. All men being sons of God? All men are not sons of God. The Bible said there are some that are brute beasts, made to be taken and burned. If he had been a great religious leader and he'd have known God's word, why didn't he say it like that? That's what I keep saying. The half-breeds have got into the church. And they're half Baptist and half Methodist and half Pentecostal and half charismatic, half UPC. Somebody say, I love Jesus. That's the condition of the church today. Some of them's half naked. Half breeds. Put on half enough clothes. Use half enough reasoning. So then what should we do? Be holy. Holy. God said, be holy, for I am holy. That's why I give you the Holy Spirit, to make you holy. A person would say, well, we believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in the demonstration of the gifts. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Some say, well, I believe in the Holy Spirit, but I don't believe in tongues. Well, one way or another, whatever you believe, that's you. I believe in the Bible. Whatever it says about it, that's what I believe. Now, but we won't go into that this morning. But here's what I don't understand. Why is it that we say we know that God is the Holy Spirit and has given us of his Holy Spirit? Why do we testify of that? And then we want to call God everything from Catholic to Methodist. We don't want to call him the Holy Spirit. And some of the brilliance of today, they get up and they say Holy Spirit instead of Holy Ghost, and they feel like they've done a great thing. They say, you say Holy Ghost in your class with the Holy Rollers. Isn't that right? Praise God. I'm glad we don't have any Holy Rollers here at Little Bethlehem. But I tell you what, if it came in style for God, I'd be rolling. Yes, sirree, you better believe I would. If Zacchaeus can climb a tree for him, I could turn cartwheels for him. Whatever he wants, that suits me. But there's no virtue in being a holy roller. Is that right? So then we are Christians. But brothers and sisters, why do we feel that we've done something special when we say Holy Spirit instead of the Holy Ghost? When according to the Greek knowledge of God and according to the word knowledge of the King James Version, that's what they did, was change it over to the Holy Ghost. Why? Because when you say Holy Spirit, That doesn't denote a form. That doesn't denote God in a personification. But after Calvary, the King James translators knew that God was in a human form. In the form of the Son of God, He personified Himself. And when you personify a spirit, you got a ghost. So they called Him the Holy Ghost when He departed from His body. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we give a display of our ignorance thinking we're smart. And the Bible said when we think we know something, we don't know something as we ought to know. The blind lead the blind. They all fall in the ditch and think it's prestige all the time. Some man walking around choking to death on a cigar, and that's prestige. Chewing and chomping. You ever seen that? Swallowing that mess down, and that's prestige. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I ain't through yet. I'm going to finish in a few minutes. All right, so then the crown left Israel. See, it left Israel. It went away from Israel. Remember, whatever happened to Israel happened to the church. It left Israel. Israel went down into Babylon. See, down into Babylonian captivity. Where is the church at today? It's in Babylonian captivity. What is Babylon? Mystery Babylon. Now let's look at it for just a minute. Isn't it true that according to the Bible, that Attalus, that there he bequeathed the crown over to Rome? Is that right? When the Medes and the Persians came in, we've got it on tape. We tell it step by step. Give the dates of how it happened and who it was. And the way it went, step by step, over, till it comes out and shows the church ages in the book of Revelation. Isn't it true that that's what they did? Their Babylonian system down there. Somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike. You said the crown left Israel. It did, and it went to Babylon. Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. You don't believe that Nebuchadnezzar belonged to God. The Bible said Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. Wasn't that what he said? Isn't that right? When Nebuchadnezzar walked through, kind of like America today, walked through and looked at the beautiful paintings and all of the architectural ability of his own skill and ingenuity as far as he thought. Didn't he brag on himself? Wasn't he proud of himself? Did he say, look what I've done? The Bible said about that time, God smote him. His mind left him. He went out into the fields to eat with the beast and eat grass, just like an animal. Stayed there until seven times passed over him. Whereas, what was the seven times? The tribulation period. See, it showed the crown. Israel was down there. Seven times passing over Israel. Israel was down there. The voice said, cut down the tree. It said to leave the stump. But cut down the tree. Old brother John came at Calvary. He picked up the axe. He said, God said, cut down the tree. The axe is waved to the root of the tree. Israel was cut down. Then the voice said, let seven times pass over it. The church ages went over. Tribulation must pass over the Israelites because it's the time of Jacob's trouble. Israel must pass under the rod, the 7 years of tribulation. But then it said, let the tree grow again. Afterwards, the Bible said, now look at it. The Bible said his mind returned to him. Remember, that vision showed Israel cut off from the crown. It showed the crown taken away from Israel. Seven times 70 years of Babylon to pass over. And there she was. But now come a day when Nehemiah will go down there and pick up the fragments. Come back out and we'll rebuild the city to the coming of the Son of God. According to the prophecy of Daniel. Now, John cut it down. The Israelites, being a nation, they lost it. They lost the crown, went out into the outer darkness, away from God. Been a scapegoat for the Gentiles. You understand that? But at the end of the church ages, Paul said, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead, which means the crown restored to Israel. Is that right? See, when Calvary came, they cut their head off. The king of the Jews. They said, don't write that he's the king of the Jews. Pilate, don't do that. Said, write that he said he's the king of the Jews. Pilate said, "What I've written, I've written. It's King of the Jews." God didn't mean for it to be written as he saith that he's King of the Jews. He was King of the Jews. Glory to God. And God made Pilate put it up there. Pilate was so afraid, he was afraid to put anything else. He knew that man was the King of the Jews. He'd done talk with him. Hallelujah. Just to get close to him would have made you know he was a king. Just to walk into his presence. Hallelujah. So then the time came for the restoration. I'm going to close. Just hold on for a few minutes now. All right. So the crown left Israel. It went down into Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar boasted about his ability. "I have overthrown the city of the great God." Wasn't that it? He boasted himself. He had taken them into captivity. Isn't that right? But he forgot that same prophet that said he'll go into Babylon, said 70 years, "I'll bring them out with a great and a mighty hand of deliverance. I kill and I make alive, saith the Lord. I wound and I bind up. I created the good and the evil. I have my way in both. I work all things after the counsel of my own will. Can evil come to a city and I've not sinned it, saith the Lord? I do what I will. I work, and who's going to let it?" You understand? "I don't have to ask anybody," he said. "Nobody has to let me." All right. So then the crown was taken away. Now we're going to get over to a little present thought right now. The crown was taken away. It was gone. Israel lost it. Went down to Babylon. Now look at it real close. It went down into Babylon. The crown, way back at the splitting of the kingdom, 975 B.C., she split up. The 10 tribes went away into Assyria, lost their identity. The others taken down into Babylon. Only 2 tribes left over in Judah. Taken down. That was the crown. Judah was the crown. That was the crown of Israel. God left the place for the crown. The 10 tribes went away. He said, "I'll gather thee back on the wings of an eagle," didn't he? Which apparently had to do with America and these plains, the eagle nation. Restored them back. Even right now, trying to set up a consulate over here in Atlanta, Georgia, so they have communication with Russia. That is Russia setting up one over there, so that the Jewish people can have communication in the foreign country. Is that right? Relating right back to Jerusalem. That's where they want to get to. But see, Atlanta's got a pattern to run. Babylon, mystery Babylon. So then the crown left. When the crown left, Nebuchadnezzar accepted the glory, thought it was what he did. But when his mind returned back to him, he stood on his feet. He looked up to heaven and he thanked God. And he said, "I know now that God ruleth in the affairs of mankind. And he is the one that decides and not the president." Somebody say, "I love Jesus." Hallelujah! It's not the governors, not the act of parliament. It's not those that are statesmen and senators that make the laws, but God does that. God ruleth in the affairs of man. Daniel interpreted into the presence of Nebuchadnezzar and told him, said Nebuchadnezzar, "God ruleth in the affairs of man." And he come back out, he said, "God is the ruler." And he looked at them walls again. He didn't look at them like America's looking at them today just before the bums fall. America's saying, "Our PhD, our scientists, look at us. Our education." And God said, "You're blind, wretched. You're going down all the time. Blind, leave the blind, they all fall in a ditch." But when they come back up, like Israel on the other side of the millennium, Washington saw the great vision. Washington said, "I saw the economy of America go down. I saw the great country, our beloved country." Washington said in the vision, "I saw it crumble. But I saw God in his infinite mercy reach down and raise her up and reestablish her." Washington said it was like angels. Said, I don't know who they were that come and intervened at the time of the crisis, but said it was like angels. Brother, it was angels. It was Revelation 19. Hallelujah! When the bombs have fallen, the troubles, the earthquakes, and everything is shaken to pieces. Revelation 19, and Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the saints of God come bursting from the heavens just like Washington saw them. Come forth, and they raise it back up, and they set this great nation of God up in the millennium for 1,000 years before that celestial change. The crown left Israel. Brothers and sisters, it went to Babylon. It has been in Babylon ever since. But remember, if the casting away of the Jews is the reconciling of the world, the time of the Gentiles as we refer to it, then the end of the time of the Gentiles or the receiving of the Jews, remember, they're fixing to sign that peace pact over on Mount Sinai. I said the other night, it has to do with the Antichrist, JC, Jesus Christ, remember how they painted his beards, returning to the bond's child, for both of them were Abraham's children. This peace pact is in the behalf of the Arabs. The Jews are giving up, giving up, giving up, but yet they surrendered to the extent that they're willing to have peace. But brethren, remember, that is only a type. That mountain one time shook with fire, and God said, this is the first step of it. I'll not just shake this mountain again, Paul said, but I will shake the heavens until the stars fall from heaven. So then, the wrath of God, Egypt, standing there, two covenants, Bacon on one side, Sadat on the other. The two covenants, don't forget, one of them will be broken. One of them will be broken. Just watch and see. One of them was thrown down because that covenant would have never took them into the Canaan land. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus was smote, showing the first man Adam life had folded up and laid away. But when that Christ come up out of the grave, law of the letter could never do it. That which is old is ready to be folded up and laid away. That Moses, that tree of knowledge, this old system of the world, it'll never take us into God's great powers and glories, but faith in Christ will do it. Will you give me a few more minutes? Fan the sparks for just a few minutes. I'm going to close. All right. That covenant. Already they say that Bacon is having problems with his heart. I think he's in the hospital. Isn't that right? Now look at it for just a few minutes, and we're going to hurry along because I am trying to come to a place to close. All right, look at it. The crown being gone. Where did the crown go? It went to Babylon. What crown? God's crown. Israel. The apple of his eye. Is that right? That crown stayed in Babylon. Remember the Ark of the Covenant left? Come back in the time of harvest. See? It's gone. And what happened? It was bequeathed over. Bequeathed over. Now look at it. I can't go into these things, so I'm just going to say a few things right hurriedly. Daniel's visions, notice this real close. Daniel's visions of the bear. You remember the bear that raised up on one side? Daniel's lions with the wings that stood up on his feet. Daniel's leopards with four wings. How do you remember that? Look over there. When God said, Daniel, seal it up, it's yet for a time. Look at the vision of John. It's identically the same. He said, and here comes the beast up out of the waters. He's got the same bare feet that Daniel saw. He's got the same leopard body that Daniel saw. What was that leopard body? Alexander the Great. What was that bear? The Medo-Persians. And said he's got that same lion head. What was that lion head? It was that Babylonian kingdom down there. See, it was the very same thing, the spotted with all nations. See, it's the very same thing. So don't seal up the vision now, Daniel. It's time for that thing to come forth. It's a trinity, a three in one. That's why I believe in one God, one faith, one baptism. Because that's that Trinitarian system of the Babylonian teachings that come from Babylon. So then when that went over, when it went over, it killed the one God teachings, which was the Jews. They believe it's one God. So then when it went over to Babylon, you follow me? It went over to Babylon. Then when the Medes and the Persians close in, Attalus, that thing that had started, now remember, that had started all the way back from Nimrod after the flood. From Nimrod, who married his own mother. All the way back from that thing. I wish we had time to go into it, but you got no tape because we preached it. Coming on over, it was the crown now, the rights, all of it was bequeathed over to Rome. Julius Caesar's come right on down. Right on down, sent Antichrist to change the times and the seasons. When you remember how Julius Caesar and him done, when they changed the calendars because of leap year and such like. Said they changed the times and the seasons, come right on over, they had the crown. That's how the papacy kept the crown. When God spoke to John, said, John, five are fallen. He said, one is, that is in power, and one is yet to come. Said, and the eighth is of the seven. Isn't that what he said? Look at the ten horns over there. When you see those common markets of Europe, those common nations coming together to get on that beast, that Trinitarian body. Look at it. Right out of one of them little horns, the same thing Daniel saw. Said a little horn come up. Out of them ten horns, up come one horn. What did the Bible say done? He devoured three of them, or he overcome three of them. Isn't that right? If there was ten of them, he overcome three of them. Is that right? What does that mean? If he did that, that meant there was seven of them left because he devoured three of them. But the Bible said the eighth shall be of the seven. Which was the eighth? The little horn that devoured the three, that made the eight. Is that right? Said he'll be the Antichrist. You follow me? So you see, brethren, it's got to come out of the common markets of Europe, out of that power over there, out of those ten nations. It's got to come up. And if you'll watch it close, the wicked won't see it, but the righteous will know exactly what's taking place. That's why this thing in the spotlight of Jimmy Carter's coming up right now. Just watch what we're telling you now. Now look at it for just a few more minutes. The crown that was with Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, it is a true fact that the Pope that just died rejected that crown. Somebody said he was trying to be humbled. He wasn't trying to be humble. God let the man die to let him know there was no humility of his. That was the act of God. Now look at it for a minute and see if that's what it was. That crown had to do with power of nations. That crown had to do with vicar of Christ. You say, but Brother Pike, that man couldn't be the vicar of Christ. Let's look at it for just a minute now, if you got just a minute. Isn't it a true fact that David was God's king? Isn't it a true fact that God said that same crown? I wish you'd give me a few minutes to get through with this thing. Some of you got to leave. Just ease on out. Here, let me finish it. Now, he was the king. David was the king. God said, there shall not fail not one of thy seed, David, but what he shall be a king. Set upon the throne, the son of David, Jesus Christ. They said the son of David, Jesus Christ, shall set upon the millennium throne. Is that right? He shall do it. See the crown. God doesn't confuse things. Brother, when they got the crown, they got the crown. That's why that the church is so oppressed. That's why we cast down. We say, God, if you're God, get everybody off of the throne. Get everybody out of parliament and set the sons of God up there. He can't do that. They've got the crown through grace. They've got the crown. You say, but the wicked king have the crown. But through grace, they can. They can. They can. As long as that blood's on the mercy seat. What blood? The death of them Jews. The death, their head, Jesus Christ, the blood of the Jews. That is Jesus' blood. The life of them Jews departed. That Calvary, it's on the mercy seat. And there is blood atonement there. And there is grace until the day that that crown comes back to Jerusalem. Which means the head has been resurrected where he comes back in tribulation. And he makes that statement. Said, look at my hands. And they said, where do you get them nails? He said, in the house of my friends. And when the crown comes back over to Jerusalem, the head has been restored and the wounds of the body have been healed. Are you following me? The blood has come back. The life of the body, scientists say, has come back to the Jews. The reconciling of the world is over. The coming in of the Jews, the resurrection from the dead. See, the Pope rejected that crown. It comes all the way from David. It had to go through Babylon. The times of the Gentiles. The only way that the Gentiles could have a time is by grace. How could they have grace? By that crown being among them. In what way could that crown be among them? The head, Jesus Christ, dying for their sins, seeking a bride, his blood on the atonement seat. the crown, the king. If the king says kill them, they die. If Nebuchadnezzar said let them live, they lived. Jesus is up there before the Father making intercession saying, let them live, my Father. Let them live. The days of the Gentiles are not yet over. Abraham, thy seed shall sojourn in bondage 430 years. Remember, America is Egypt. Hieroglyphics, Rosetta Stone, that's where your civilization comes from. That's all that this is. A lot of knowledge is just Egyptian civilization, the bonds child. But now the true child is coming in. Them two covenants up on the mountain begging Sadat. See, Abraham's children, they're only coming together to show the redemption of the body. That's all. One of them represents the body, one the spirit. But that's only a type, because the true body is the Jew and we're the true spirit. You love Jesus? All right, so the crown stayed with the papacy of Rome. Hundreds of popes had it. All down. The Gentiles, that was their lordship. I know Jimmy says he's up there, and the queen says she's up there, and the king, and all of these. But you notice when they have a crowning of the Pope, all of them go over. Or they send their best wishes. That's the man. That's the man. That's what everything orbits around. That's the sunshine of the earth. You understand? But it looks like it's going out. It looks like it's going out, isn't it? All right, so there it is, that crown. They could not receive that crown. Why couldn't they receive it? That man couldn't receive it because I said Pope Paul was the last one of them. He said, the next one that came in said, I can't receive the crown. He was too humble. The Bible said the preparation of man's heart is from God, not humility. God said, you don't put that crown on. See, he said, I'm not even a pope. He told him, I don't know how to be a pope, he said. Why? All of it done run out. The seed, it done gone to seed. That was the end of it. You understand what I'm saying? That was the end of it. He couldn't take the crown, folks. The crown, God was through. The Gentile days was finished. They were over. God has finished the thing. Watch the powers of destruction come in. Tribulation sweep over the world. And there, he couldn't take that crown. Why couldn't he take it? And boy, this is where they're going to jump. I know this is where they'll jump the track. You love Jesus? Never in the history of mankind have I ever known this to happen. In all of my reading, studies, or understanding of conversations with big and little. But there's some sisters here, Catholic sisters, that are called the Church of the Visitation. Isn't that right? Sure. The Church of the Visitation. And the Spirit of the Lord visited them. Through our literature and our brethren, the members of the body of Jesus. Is that right? And they sent to us. They sent to us. And some of you are familiar with it. They sent to us a little statue with a beautiful gold crown. But remember, that crown wasn't on his head when they had it. Come on now. I said the crown had been broken off. Now why did that happen? That Pope couldn't put it on anymore. It was broken off. Their little statue, they had made it, had the crown on it, but it broke off. It was gone. Is that right?
Right.
Now, but when Brother Bradley went over there, Michael, we speak of Michael the archangel having to do with it. When Brother Bradley went over there, he spoke about this little image. This little image was the Christ child image. The head broken off of it. You understand what I'm saying? Israel's body out in the darkness because the head, the crown was gone from it. It's got a beautiful golden crown on it. Gone. And Brother Bradley said, he asked about it. And he began to talk to him about it. And they said, would you put that head back on for us? That's exactly what it takes. How do you know that? Read Revelation 12. And the Bible said there was war in heaven and Michael and the angels fought against the dragon. The old red dragon was cast out. What's that? Blood life. The days of reasoning was over. Isn't that right? Educational brilliance had gone. Power, money, power was gone. The God of mammon. It was over. And what was it? The head, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the faith, the literature, the understanding, the Spirit that had been sent there, the visitation. See? And the head was placed back on it. And they sent it over to us, and he wrote a little note. We still got it down here with the statue, saying to the man of God. Since when does Catholics call Protestant men of God? That's their greatest enemy. To the man of God, they said. We give this. Think about that now. The sisters of the visitation by Michael. gave it, calling us the man of God. The head had been placed back on. Michael fought and his angels prevailed. The Christ child, the head, was called up to Israel to reign throughout the millennium over the head of Israel. The head was back. There'd been a war. The head was back, placed on Israel. And then as quick as they brought it in here, about the next night or so, Brother Gary Armstrong, which also has to do with that, we spoke about the man landing on the moon, said he had a vision. In the vision, all the Catholic priests coming here, he saw them coming to this place and coming up to this sacred desk. And as they walked up here, said they said, "Holy, holy, 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 holy." Amen. Then a little while later, had a vision. He saw this thing in a nook like this, and the revelation in this part of it up here. And the voice spoke and said, "Bethlehem should be over all the world." You love Jesus. Some of us say, "Brother Pike, you don't believe that." I believe that Bethlehem is just a part of what God's doing, but it's a little symbol just like Jerusalem was. Out of Bethlehem, this is the city of seven governors. A governor upon his shoulder. Isn't that right? Everything happening around Atlanta, you remember that? J.C. How do you understand what I'm saying? The baby farm? Oh, so many things now. See, in other words, I'm saying that the crown went back to the Christians. See, you thought I was going to say the crown come to me. It did. Isn't that wonderful? I'm a Christian. All right, so his body, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And the crown came back to the body. That meant that they couldn't have it anymore. And over in Virginia, you know the Virgin, you understand? While we was up there, there was over in Maryland, Mary the Virgin, Virginia, right there. Lord Baltimore, right there, you understand what I'm saying? There they were at Camp David, the king coming in, having the peace treaty, getting ready to go back to Mount Sinai, over there, them covenants, everything coming in. What happened? Joshua got the covenant, went on over Canaan, isn't that right? What over Jordan, into Canaan. What is Jordan? The carnal mind. Getting over the educational system of the world has caused all the trouble, the carnal mind. Going on over it into the spirit and mind of God to turn this world into a garden by the Spirit of Christ. All right. So then, and I'll close this to encourage you. This way you'll know I'm telling you the truth. All right. So then the crown left. Isn't that right? The crown left. God let the man reject the crown because from the time of the dispersion of Israel, the crown had belonged to the world. But now the days of the Gentiles are finished and over. The time of the Gentiles is ended. And the crown could not be accepted by the Gentiles. It had to go to Israel. It had to go to Israel. That's why peace is coming in. Somebody said she's had no peace in 30 years. That's back to 48, back there when the angel of God appeared. And they started, the Brother Branham, and then they started going back to the homeland. Beloved, that isn't when they have started having trouble. They haven't had any peace since they fell back in the days of Solomon. They haven't had any peace since then. But they haven't had any peace since they've been in their homeland for about 30 years either. But I tell you what, they're fixing to get peace, but not out of Jimmy Carter's pack. The Prince of Peace is going to return to the true child, which is Israel, on the Mount of Olivet, and bring in that great millennium rest, the Feast of Tabernacles. And we'll go into it one of these days, maybe. But anyway, I'm trying to close here now. That crown could not be accepted because it's gone back to the church. Whatever happens to Israel happens to the church. See, the receiving of Israel is the resurrection of the dead. The dead in Christ shall rise first. The church, we which are alive and remain, shall be caught up with them to meet Christ. So shall we ever be with them in the air. That is, we'll be caught up to the dressing room. The bride puts on a beautiful garment. Revelation 19, she comes back to the wedding supper. She has her supper. Then she invites all the fowls of the air to come and eat the carcasses of all of them that's been destroyed at the great supper. And then 1,000 years she enjoys her honeymoon with Christ. You understand what I'm saying? 1,000 years. What a beautiful thing. Everything just perfect for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Everything. Somebody would say, "But Brother Pike, there's just one thing missing. The Lord. Where is He?" But if you'll read in your Bible, you'll find over there where Jesus was talking to Peter and some of them, and they said, "We want to know what you're going to do with this fella." Talking about John now. Remember, God is love. The beloved disciple, the one who saw the revelation, said, "What are you going to do with that fella?" Jesus said, "What's that to you?" He said, "If he tarry till I come." Somebody said, "Oh, he ain't going to die. He won't ever die." The Bible said, but God didn't say he wasn't going to die. Jesus didn't say he wasn't going to die. But he did tarry till he come. Because Jesus stood there and the Bible said his hair was as white as wool. Like the sun shining in his strength. And he said, "John, I'm come. I was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. I'm the resurrection." Not only that, but John tarried till he saw the Ancient of Days and the New Jerusalem coming in and the new earth. And he said, "I saw the Ancient of Days and the city of New Jerusalem." He saw the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. What was it? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Read it in the Bible. It says it was the revelation of Jesus Christ. "I will return the second time to them without sin unto salvation. They'd look for me." All right. I want you to stand together with me. The crown is the Ark of the Covenant. Wherever it goes, there we find the blessings of the Lord. It's a sad time, folks, for the world, but it's a wonderful time for the sons of God. Brother Taylor sang that song, "We Now We Are the Sons of God." I like that song. See, not after a while. John said, "Now, beloved, you're the sons of God." I'm not waiting to become a son of God. If I was waiting to become a son of God, I'd kind of be afraid. I wouldn't know whether whether I'd make it or wouldn't make it. You know, the way everything goes nowadays, I'd say, "Well, I don't know. When I get there, I might make a slip just before I get there and not be a son of God." I might say, "Well, you might make a slip anyway." The Bible said, "He that's born of God don't make slips." You love the Lord? Said, "He is born of God, cannot sin." It didn't say he may not sin. It said he cannot sin because he is born of God. How could anything born of God sin? You ever heard a cat talk? Cats don't talk. It's born of a cat. Anything born of a cat don't talk. Anything born of God don't sin. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? The wonderful, loving Holy Ghost. You say, "What is that?" That's the crown. See, in my heart, here is the crown. Oh, hallelujah, I feel His presence. The crown is in my heart. See, the Holy Spirit.
That you wouldn't
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord. Brother Marlowe's been trying to fast and get in touch with God for a few days. Let's lift our hands up and just love the Lord for a few minutes. Father, Lord of heaven, we're thankful this morning for your wonderful presence. And dear God, you said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And dear God, I feel that you brought the prophecy, Lord, as a second witness to what we said this morning. Always following your right procedure. Your way is always the same, never changing. And I ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you bless my precious brothers and sisters in the Lord. Bless these darling people, and God, bless me in my home. Help us to be ready, Jesus. Everything is at an end. Lord, all things is at an end. And Lord, we're right here at the end of the way. And dear God, we know that from henceforth, Lord, that many troubles and tribulations and trials and unusual things with wicked men will begin to come to pass. Wicked men waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated just for a moment. We're going to turn the service over to our brother and let you go. Things are bad. I'm just going to say this right briefly, not get into another message or something drawn out. I feel like we said what we're supposed to. But I believe in my heart the reason that the Pope died so suddenly as he did is in that he did not received the crown, it meant the end of the vicar of Christ in the earth coming down from Peter. I didn't get to finish what I'd like to finish this morning, but coming down from Peter, through Peter the descendant, believing him to be the Pope, coming down as Jesus the head departed, giving the keys to Peter and coming on down to mankind, God allowing it to go to them. Whereas you would say it couldn't be, Brother Pike, it went to the church, but the Bible said he showed grace to the Gentiles and went to the Gentiles. So that coming on down, they received it. But remember this one thing. I believe that God let him reject it and then let him die suddenly, because now, in that there is a breach between the Pope that died, Pope Paul, and the successor, the crown can never be bequeathed over, nor can a successor pick it up. You understand what I say? If the Pope had accepted the crown, then when he died, there could have been a successor. But he did not accept it. Therefore, there is a breach between him and Pope Paul, because they cannot get to Pope Paul because of Pope John Paul. See, that breach will forever be there. God put it there. He come in for that short season. Put it there to where he, the one that was successor to it, John Paul, could not, he cannot bequeath it over because he's dead. Isn't that right? He died suddenly. Died reading the Psalms or the book that said, imitate Christ. He died. Now then, the successor, the one that follows, cannot pick it up like they did in years gone by. Why? Because he didn't accept the crown. He doesn't have it. You understand? At his death, he doesn't have it. He never did take it from Paul. So then the breach is between them. They can never again have it. Now they may go on with their ritualistics, and no doubt they will, just like I said here a while back. But see, not with God. God has removed the crown. That makes all the difference in the world. That means that they'll never have nothing but problems. And I said the other night, they've always had the answer. Isn't that right? You've never heard the Catholic Church admit they didn't have the answer. But read it in the paper. They said, we don't have the answer this time. Said, God's ways is hard to understand. We don't understand what's going on. They don't, because the head's gone. He can't tell them. All right. So there we are. It looks like that's what God has done, is put a breach and a gap between them forever to where they can never have it again, which ends the times of the Gentiles. She'll start deteriorating, falling. And you know this, right hurriedly now, you know Reno, Nevada, Las Vegas. I understand that over in New Jersey now they're opening up the same thing over there now. Two or three other places, they're opening it up. And the way they're doing it, they're going in buying enough land to become a county. I understand that they're buying enough land to become a county and then hiring enough people to come in to get enough people in the county to vote for whatever they want legalized and to have to pass it and give it to them. Now, is that law? Would you call that a government, a law? I tell you what, they might have an army in there to vote for it, but if I was out there and I was the president, we'd shovel them out like garbage. That's right. Pulling their little gimmicks and just letting them things go. God wants us to stand up, folks. You wait till the Jews come and you see how much of that stuff they'll allow for. That man pushed past that priest and went in there, got into the holies of holies. God said, just go in there and take his head off. God, don't play. All right, let's stand together one more time. Let's sing this little chorus together. If you ever have drawn close to God, you need to draw close to God. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, what I don't understand, now you say the end of the world is here. The end of the Gentiles is here. That means nobody else can be saved. Those that be saved, or those that come in, will have to go through the tribulation. Many church people go through there. The mark of the beast coming in. The computer system, Antichrist. The horns. The triune nation. How many of them's over there? Sadat, Jimmy, Begin. You say, Brother Pine, that nobody can be saved now. Here's where we make our mistake. Everyone that was saved before they were ever born into the world. You love Jesus? I said, the Bible said in them that he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Them that he predestinated, them he also called. See, if he predestinated them in his foreknowledge, his mind, then through the ministry he called them to repentance. The bride saith, come, the call. Isn't that right? He also did call. And them that he called, he also did justify. How did he do that? Somebody says, well, he sent the blood of the Lamb at Calvary to justify everybody. No, he didn't. He sent the blood of Calvary to give time for the call to go out and to justify the faithful, only the faithful. Them that he called, he justified. That blood was spilt for them. Said, Father, I do not pray for thee, the world, but I pray for these that you have given me. I've not lost the one, saving the son of perdition. But I don't pray for the world. Lord, keep these. You follow me? And them that he justified, he also glorified. Somebody would say, well, I'm waiting for that great day of glorification. Brother, the Bible said we are complete in him. Amen. He also glorified. Everything is wonderful. Now, could you visualize any vessel that has been glorified as having any kind of spot, wrinkle, or blemish? The church has made itself ready, John said. He said that many years ago. Isn't that right? Many years ago. Almost 2,000. Said the bride's made herself ready. She'd been ready all the time in the foreknowledge of God. The Lamb was slain for her from the foundation of the world. It was only made manifest at Calvary. Over here at the rapture, it's only made manifest that she's been the bride ever since he first thought of her. Ever since he first laid his eyes on her. You know, we see through the eyes of our understanding. He loved her. Right then and there, she became his. All right, you say, why do you say all that? To let you know that the end of the Gentiles has nothing to do with the predestinated. It don't have to be a certain time or a certain season for somebody to get saved. You understand what I'm saying? God works all things after the counsel of his own will. He just doesn't count things the way that we do, does he? Does he? The morning star of Israel, the crown. She went down, coming back up, the evening star, to go through the tribulation night, which will be Antichrist. But as she grabs the crown, after the dark night of tribulation, then comes the morning of that eternal day of rest, the morning star again, Israel. She'll throw a flag up, the old six-pointed star. She'll have peace. It'll be back up again, the crown. Okay, let's sing this little song together. He that overcometh, I will give to him the bright and the morning star. What is the morning star, the day star, the bright sun? I tell you what, let's sing, they that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Just teach me, Lord, oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. I was fixing to go out, but the Lord impressed me, and I feel that all of us, just for a few minutes, makes it a little difficult when we got the cameras around, but all of us, just for a few minutes, let's gather around the altar. I feel it would be good this morning if all of us would come and we just renew our covenant. Just take a minute to renew our covenant. Sometimes it makes all the difference in the world in just renewing our covenant in God. Just lifting our hands and our heart up to the Lord, renewing our covenant and asking God to do something for us. And just saying, Lord, help me. Lord, stand with me. I hope Atlee can get some pictures this morning. I feel like today has a great significance. If you can, just come on down, will you? Let's gather around the altar. If you love Jesus, say, but I'm not a Christian. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If you are a Christian, you should come down and stand here with us. All of us standing together, one unit, one mind, one body, one strength. I love Jesus, don't you? Don't you love Jesus? I want to sing this little chorus. While they're coming, let's sing this little chorus. Oh, when the saints, can you sing with me? Go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching. Oh, when the sun refused to shine. Oh, when the sun refuses to shine. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the sun refused to shine. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in. Oh, when the moon turns into blood. Oh, when the moon turns into blood. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the moon turns into blood. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching. Now listen. Oh, when they crown him Lord of all. Oh, when they crown him Lord of all. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when they crown him Lord of all. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number.
when the saints go marching in.
You love the Lord?
Amen.
How many of you would like to be there when they crown Him? When they crown Him? Hallelujah. I'd love to be there. You know, if they wouldn't let me get near, there'd be so many hundreds and millions, Brother James. I might have to do like Zacchaeus. If there's a tree out there somewhere, I might have to climb up, you know, to see it. But I want to be there when that lovely crown that belongs to Him. Did you know, down through the ages, never before, never has anybody ever wore a crown that deserved it. Never. All the kings and the queens, never. But He will deserve it. He will deserve it. It'll find a resting place. He will deserve it. Never, never before anyone ever deserved it, but He will deserve it. Can we sing that one more time? Oh, when they crown King of Kings. Oh, when they crown Him King of Kings.